Let us begin in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent indwelling Spirit. Amen. We'll be reading today's gospel tonight three times in the manner, listening in the manner of Lectio Divina. Listening for how the Spirit is speaking in your own heart. Inspiring a word or a phrase that speaks to your journey now, or a work idea. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. This is the good news. O God, when I found your words, I devoured them. I took them in and combined with them, and they became the happiness and the joy of my heart. Amen. Would anyone like to share what they heard? Thank you, Tamara.
I heard negative emotions lie. If I believe them, it's like I don't know God.
Thank you. Jackie.
A rich passage. I saw scale in the ray of creation, God at the top and Jesus in the middle part and the Jews below. I mean, literally, in addition to within me. I could see when I'm in the middle part of a sinner, I can see up and I can see down, as Jesus could see. He could know God. But the Jews who were below him at a lower level, it was discontinuous. They couldn't see. They couldn't see up. They couldn't see Jesus. They certainly couldn't see God or Abraham, who would be at the top. I saw my own multiplicity in this, that when I am in a higher place in myself, things slow down and I can see below in me. And I can, and it's a state of awe that things slow down so that I'm given the opportunity to discern those small Jews in me at the bottom that haven't a clue. And the middle part of me that is quiet and still and is just patiently waiting. And for those really magical moments, that higher place that knows a lot and feels a lot.
Thank you. Tracy.
I don't know if it's a work term. Maybe someone can help with that. It's the idea of Jesus placing things well, having his words well placed. He obviously was seeing from the vertical, but responding to them in their horizontal. And then, but when it came time that they were throwing rocks at him, he responded in the horizontal. So he just had well-placed words in action.
Sly man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sandra.
The other wondering I had at the end of it, beyond Sly Man, it ended with outside the temple area, and the idea of the emotional center came to me, but because they were in negative emotions, Sly Man had to move on. And yet at the beginning, when he glorified himself, it reminded me of pride, false personality, ego. But yet when God glorified I pictured higher centers. You know, it's just coming through.
Yeah, thank you. Nice. Jack.
I was hearing a conversation between man number 7 and man number 3, mm-hmm. and recognizing how there's no communication. That's from one end it's truth and the other it's babble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Anna, thank you.
I heard them questioning him about Abraham. How could you have met him? You can't be more than, you're less than 50 years old. In the vertical, time is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Please.
What I just heard was, I must decrease so he can increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stuart.
I also heard scale, above and below, mm-hmm. vertical and horizontal. Mm-hmm. And probably because I've been listening to the crucified Jesus is no stranger over and over again, I see that within me is the one, you do not know him, and I know him. One is living in the separation, and the other one is the possibility of integrated wholeness. So what really, really struck with me was Jesus hid, but Jesus hid. So I was wondering what he was hiding from and what that could be useful for me. So it made me think of, you know, one side's kind of hiding from the other, perhaps. You could look at it like that. Mm-hmm. But hiding from groups of eyes, and for me right now, one of them is foolish sincerity. So that's something I can always use to hide from, saying too much. Trying to really bond with somebody and be honest and just not being... not being vigilant enough to know that, you know, clever sincerity. And also, at my job, I come across as not being a nice guy a lot. And then also get feedback that I'm too nice. So I've been holding both of those things together. And just Jesus here gave me something, yeah, I can hide. I can hide from those.
Yeah. Rusty, thank you, Stuart.
I never got past the first line, mm-hmm. and for my own glory, and just thinking about what motivates my actions when I'm hustling around in a mechanical way, doing what I do,
yeah.
and just to really step back and take some honest appraisal, just on recent events, you know, where you see motivation not being for my own glory versus for the glory of God.
Yeah. Right. Pride and vanity are the two giants that walk before us and arrange everything. Mm-hmm. Jackie. David's got it.
Picking up from Stuart on Jesus hid, I'm thinking that higher emotional and higher intellectual centers are constantly talking to us, mm-hmm. but we can't hear them mm-hmm. because we're so far below that level of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I heard in that is that in one of his other books, either The New Man or The Mark, Nichols says that stones represent a literal level of truth. So here they are, they're in the temple, the sacred area, and the literal level of truth is being exchanged, and when that's rejected, they're thrown at him. But they can't touch him the literal level can't touch him. It doesn't connect. It doesn't meet him. Jackie.
I also heard future memory, that Abraham had a future memory of Christ.
Yes.
And but I Am had a future memory of the entire thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and in that I heard the invitation personally. Can I claim I am and not fill in the blank? Something always wants to fill in the blank. And I am glorified by the Father. That's why there's no need to fill in the blank. And then there was a part of me that kept hearing the story after it ended. He left the temple area. Apparently, truth could not be found in the temple. And then we know all the other stories as he's traveling around where people could hear him, just ordinary people. Anything else? Why do we practice Lectio Divina in here? What does it exercise in us? Tracy.
Maybe third force, neutralizing force.
That's right. It alivens, awakens that.
Because we come as first force, the church sort of plays as second force, and then I'm thinking the Lectio is the third force.
Right. So you could also say that's the spirit. Jackie.
It's all three kinds of the work.
Say more.
This is the ultimate second line group. But it's also the ultimate first line of work on myself, multiplied on out. And certainly the third line of the work, because we're getting the work out into the world.
Thank you. Stuart, and then Tamara.
It also further anchors us back into the tradition, as Nicol tried to do. And it also occurs to me that it truly integrates the two legs of the church, and there's more of a feeling of one church when we mix.
Yeah, one practice, one teaching. Tamara.
I'm going to follow that and say that it gives us the opportunity to hear higher centers through the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Greta, please.
For me, it opens the ear of the heart. It really strikes in the emotional center. It allows me to hear deeply beyond my always analytical thoughts.
Thank you. Sherry.
I think it slows us down.
Makes us less mechanical.
Yeah. Rusty.
Just off a couple of comments that people made. Cynthia Bourgeau said that you're third force blind without a contemplative practice. Mm-hmm. You're just bringing it together for that 10 minutes mm-hmm. at the beginning.
David.
I loved your analogy of the stone. I think Lexio helps to point out that I throw a lot of stones. You know, the rigid, you think of a stone, it's rigid.
Yeah.
Dense.
That's right.
Unflexible. Inflexible. And I realize that when I'm in that place of judgment, there's a lot of duality with throwing stones.
Yeah. That's right. So Lexio is listening with a different faculty. So we're exercising that faculty. We slow down. We open. We hear. And we take it personally as a prompting of the Spirit. So it's both awakening the Spirit and it's learning to trust the Spirit. And then we get to see in 30 or 40 different ways, depending on how many of you share, that there's no right answer. That the Spirit is very, very personal and very alive in each one of us. And yet there's this incredible sense of depth and oneness after we share what we've heard in the scripture. And you can feel this synthesis and this integration, and it just keeps getting deeper or higher. And that one person says something and another person builds on it, and you can just feel the Spirit coming alive. It's incredible. Yes, Sandra.
And that reminds me of the work lesson around the language of emotional center, which is the imagery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, right. It helps us slow down and the ear of the heart, but it is getting out of the head to some degree, and pictures come to you when you sit here and listen.
That's right. So then the invitation is to trust that the Spirit is always with me, that higher centers are always with me, always speaking to me. And when I move out into life, that same movement of listening and hearing can happen with the same level of trust that we practice in here. In here we learn to trust what we hear, even if it's really off the wall. Even if we hear the word "the," we trust that. And then can you go deeper and deeper and then share it, claim it. And it's amazing what blossoms. So I see it as an exercise in trusting the Spirit, that the teacher is always with me and always speaking to me. And I'm learning to listen in community. Amen. Next Thursday, there will not be a work class. There will be a Taizé ceremony here for Holy Thursday. Last week, Donald gave this aim. Which was, again, a very basic practice of the work of inner Christianity. He said to practice complete observation, followed by non-identification, and to finish the practice, most importantly, with self-remembering in all three centers. The absolute foundational practice of the work. So what was your experience, or what was your experiment with really focusing on this most basic purpose of the work? Linda, thank you.
I think this work kept me from having days or probably weeks of anguish this week. Mm. I had an event on Sunday that I interpreted a certain way. And in doing the homework, I was able to feel a constriction in my throat and in my chest. Feel shame, or experience shame, and have the thoughts that I was inauthentic and, oh, I forgot, inauthentic and something else. I can't remember what it was now. So I practiced non-identification, and I started with the self-remembering intellectual center saying, God is present, and it's okay. And then I got murky about, so self-remembering and physical, I was relaxing, trying to get myself to relax, but I was pretty clueless about self-remembering and emotional center, about, I don't know if I've ever even tried that or done that. I think I've just always done a kind of a generic self-remembering, you know, kind of a more thought.
Yes.
So I could use some comment on that.
What was your, or what is a useful, before we get to that, what's a useful way for you to non-identify? What does that look like for you?
Usually it's just remembering God. God is present. God is here. This is not I. God is present. God is here. But it's pretty much relegated to intellectual center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to share their practice of self-remembering, including the moving center? What does that look like for you? And practice it right now while I'm asking the question. Anna.
It was pretty difficult for me for a while, too. And I think that for me, when I practice non-identifying, I have to feel it in my body. There was an incident today, even, and just a misunderstanding, but it created this whole catastrophe in the body, a lot of anger. So what I did first, because I'm the most, but the body is the most foreign to me. The emotional, intellectual center are very close to me. The body's not there. So how I practice non-identifying is I have to sit there. I'm trying not to do anything else. I know the thoughts are there, and I can sense the emotions are there, but all I wanted to do is just sit and feel it. Mm-hmm. And I feel it. And I feel it in my chest, and it's intense. And I would sit there, and it's so intense I would have to get up and do my moving center, but I would sit back down because there's a will to feel through it. And once I sat, and it takes hours sometimes. And when this time, it did take a couple hours, but it's quicker than it used to be in the past as I experience this more and more. And as that intensity decreases, it decreases, it decreases. Then all of a sudden, I go to my emotion center. I saw the anger. I saw the intense embarrassment regarding it. But it's less so when I observe those emotions. They're not overwhelming. Now that it's gone through my body, I can see it. I can feel where the emotion is. Then I go to my intellectual center. Then I can see all of a sudden externally considering. I can see now with all of the energy has already left. I can finally see, I see what happened. And I didn't put I into it. I saw this person talking to that person. And I saw how the exchange went. And I saw it so clearly. I thought, oh, that person, the other person, was thinking this and this and this because he told me so. And then I saw me as this other person. Oh, she was thinking this and this and this and this. But I can only do it when all that energy leaves me. That's my practice of non-identification. Then all of a sudden, compassion comes. That's so lovely. And it's warm. And I feel it is warm. And it's open. And it's almost to the point of, ah, oh, there it is. That is self-remembering.
Thank you. Any others? Greta and then Jackie.
I had a really good chance to experience my moving center. I had an event on Wednesday morning which involved intestinal distress and my sequestering myself in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a bit of intestinal pain and discomfort. And I generally keep a book of spiritual readings in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I took it out and I was reading it, and then I remember the homework and I put it down because I realized that I was trying to put myself to sleep mm-hmm. and not feel the pain. Mm-hmm. And as I started to get a three-centered observation, I realized that my mind was formatorily both pushing it out of the way, refusing to acknowledge that there was a problem going on by trying to put itself to sleep, but also saying no, no, no to mm-hmm. what was happening from the formatory center, that my emotional center was kind of distraught, was wondering, it was just fluttery. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to express it. My heart was beating a little quickly. And then when I went to my moving center and I focused on what I was experiencing, I realized that there really wasn't anything wrong at all, that there was just some pain in my abdomen, and that otherwise I could think clearly. If I allowed myself to leave and non-identify with those thoughts, and that I could begin to breathe into the situation, and suddenly I realized there was really there was a small problem with my intestines and there was nothing else wrong. Mm-hmm. And that brought me to a state of gratitude, which brought me to a state of self-remembering. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you. Jackie, please.
Well, I can't practice non-identification if I'm asleep. So I have to start with vigilance around self-observation mm-hmm. and have a strong wish to catch it mm-hmm. as it's coming in. And then I reach for all my tools in my work toolbox, and very often they start with I can work, mm-hmm. and it has a definite sound to it. It's a strong do, I can work. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of
seeks for whatever the appropriate work tool is. And that gives me enough inner separation on the identification. And I love the work. So I'm then off on the adventure of the work. Mm-hmm. And I love it so much that I remember myself. Mm-hmm. And this brings me to what happened to me this week. And this was a combination really of Greta's aim from last week and also the basics from this week. And as I understood Greta's suggested exercise, it was to observe a strong emotion. On Sunday, I came to church. I served the Eucharist. I was in just a beautiful place. Then I headed home, and that was the day of the storm. And as I'm entering my neighborhood, there is debris everywhere. And I'm observing. I'm present because that was part of my aim. And my heart started speeding up, and I recognized this is a strong emotion because I recognized something had happened here. So time slowed down at that moment. I'm by myself in my car. I slow down, and all my neighbors are outside with broken trees, sawing trees. That was not the way I left my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. In the morning. So the work tools then I started reaching for. I can work. I had a future memory of everything is fine at my home. If I'm negative, it's my own fault, which is kind of an odd one in that moment because I had no idea what I was going to encounter. So I started calculating second force. Mm-hmm. Okay? If it's a disaster, I will deal with it. I'll simply do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I even stopped on the way to talk to neighbors. I didn't speed on the to get home. It was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It was like I was describing earlier. I was in a higher place. God had come to me, mm-hmm. and the work had come to me and put me in a higher place than I would have thought I could be in that situation. Mm-hmm. Almost like it was an adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got home and we had damaged trees. But I was calm and the sun was bright. It was one of those things where you really take in the impressions, mm-hmm. in a much clearer way. Yeah.
Thank you. Shocks also have a lot of energy for self-remembering. Yeah. Tamara.
I did the three-centered observation on some really, well, I saw these judgment eyes, and I think it's interesting because years ago sitting here, I wouldn't think I had a problem with judging. Right. You know, I would think, oh, I'm a doormat, or, you know, I had all these ideas about myself.
Yeah.
And through the years, these eyes come up that sometimes just really surprised me. And the thoughts were clear. If I were doing that, I would be nicer. I would be more efficient. Just obviously judging eyes. The emotions were also really clear. Frustration, impatience, wanting the person to be different. Now, what also surprised me is when I started getting in touch with the moving center, and you would think I would be pretty in touch, I noticed my lips come together in a mmm, and I never noticed that before.
So
I started noticing different times, and my eyes kind of narrow. You know, it's so obvious. Yeah. So, and in seeing those eyes, What I got the most self-remembering is something higher came through about the power of kindness. And it's like when that shift happened, I could feel my whole body relax. I could feel the judgment. I don't even know exactly how I got to self-remembering. Mm-hmm. But I know I was playing with first just seeing those eyes clearly. Mm-hmm. And then somehow the kindness thing came through and it just, psh, oh. Then it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Right. Well, I would say that will was activated then and shows that when that, I would say your higher level of being presented itself and you chose it. You were aware, the inner observer was active and could see that in the field of possibility. But it's great that you were, that you saw the caricature of judgment through the facial expression. There's so many times when I've caught myself in the mirror and I go, oh my God, there's my mother. How did that happen? The exact same face. So it's a program. That's all. Thank you. Yes, Jan.
I don't know if I have this all put together, but I was on the 10-day retreat. And, of course, the first thing that happens is just silence. You know, everything shuts down. Suppose on the outside, you know. And a lot of activity, the busyness, shuts down too. And so what, just like Tamara was saying, that judgment, I mean, it's like it was there every single moment, every second of every moment. Mm-hmm. And it was like I found myself like, oh, give me a break, you know, like that. And when I spoke with Barbara, you know, she had said, well, you know, it's like, it's important not to, we all know that, you know, not to have your not to have the observation be critical. And then I happened to be reading a commentary, and I read Nickel was saying that one way that he non-identifies is to say, that eye's not I. And I just loved that. Mm. And it was so helpful. And I think I had talked to Barbara about that too, you know, because it's like, you know, I like to think, you know, I'm all accepting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like those pictures in my imagination, you know, and then here was this internal bitch, mm-hmm. you know, who had something to say. I mean, the smallest thing could happen. And in that silence, that's what became present. You know, it's like, oh, have this, you know, silence is the first language of God. Well, I couldn't hear it, you know, because there was this, you know, just nonstop. And so one of the ways, and so about my moving center, what was going on, well, it was more my instinctual centers. My stomach was just, you know, and I saw that I wasn't alone. You know, you get real quiet in that prayer room, and all the stomachs were, you know, and so misery loves company. And so what I could say as a way of self-remembering, and Barbara had suggested this also, she's really helpful, is to just tell myself, you know, I'm on this journey. I'm on, you know, I'm not doing things perfectly, but I'm on this journey, and so is everybody in this room. You know, we're on this journey together to be what God wants us to be. And so as far as my moving center, I had decided that to the best of my ability, I was going to try to break up my mechanical self. And just like somebody said over there, Anna said, you know, I go first to my head and then to my emotions, and my moving is just like, I'm going to lay in bed and think about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or what was that thing that people say, when I get the urge to exercise, I just lay down and let it pass? Mm-hmm. That's me. And so I decided that what I was going to do, at first it was an intention, is to get outside and walk. And then it didn't have to be an intention because it was so beautiful. And the weather cooperated. It just, everything was perfect. And so in being out in nature, I experienced from my emotional center this overwhelming joy, you know, and the slowing down and noticing this little, I won't go through everything I noticed, but this little da-da-da and this little, you know, beautiful mm-hmm. piece of, or flower or something. And it was just, you know, I just felt like I was there open, and I was there with all my fellow journeyers or travelers.
Mm-hmm. So now it's important to really feel the inner taste of that moment and to be alive in the body, fed by nature, and make a future memory of that aim continuing, moving against the entropy of the moving center, or yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah. So I came home, and I had the intention that I wanted to keep that. Mm-hmm. And somebody else said on the, there was somebody offered up that he had heard somewhere that discipline is freedom. Mm-hmm. And so we discussed that. And so I decided that I was going to take that with me, mm-hmm. and that in my morning work call, I was going to do it while I was walking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 4 days in, and I'm good. You know.
Have you calculated second force?
Yes.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's like there it was, laying in mm-hmm. bed, and oh my God, it was chilly, and mm-hmm. you know, yeah. But thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Guy in the back over here, Jackie. Thank you.
Well, mine was driving, which I think is very mechanical for me. Mm-hmm. But as I've been listening to everybody, what struck me is in this Lenten period, I have gotten a lot more focused in my daily rituals, mm-hmm. coming under authority to them. And I think that has a lot to do with what happened in this driving event. So if you know where 71 and it splits, and you can go to Brody and you can go right and go to the Church of Conscious Harmony, and you could wreck in the middle there, sort of, mm-hmm. if you're not careful. So someone had their turn signal on, their indicator on, and I let them in. I tried to let them in. Slow down, let them in, let them in, let them in. And then, of course, they didn't need to get over. They just left it on, which is usually in this town, the indicator is usually on. So that's where I started going, right? So I had a comment for that. And then, of course, I had to speed up to cut over, and no one was going to let me in, right? Because no one lets you in Austin, right? So like that one, mm-hmm. going on about that. What I observed was, I was thinking it, I wasn't saying out loud. Usually it would be said out loud, and usually fairly aggressively. And then I managed to like swerve over at the last second, not hit the barricade and didn't see there was a car behind me. And as I came across, then I saw the car in the proof, and it was like, I don't know, a couple, 3 feet. So could it, and nothing came out of my mouth, which is unusual. And I didn't feel anything in my body. So I think it was this sort of neutral observation that made me not get identified with that. Maybe if it was in my body, I would have noticed it and started yelling and screaming. But like, I didn't yell and scream, so I didn't notice really feeling anything in my body. And I think that might be because I wasn't identified. And because I wasn't identified, there was no emotions. So there was, because usually if I'm yelling and screaming, my body's tense too. It was just bizarre. And then I just kept driving on my way to church. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I said nothing. Or sped up, or went on this diatribe. It just didn't happen.
And there was no tension in the body as you're almost running into somebody, or
there may have been. I didn't notice it.
Okay.
I didn't. Yeah. I noticed that I was calm.
Yeah. So you're reporting just a different state of being altogether.
Yeah.
In a recurring situation where there's usually very predictable reactions and behaviors.
Highly predictable.
Yeah. All glory to God.
Amen.
And that's the fruit of practice, that as we practice and really, really get familiar with exercising these muscles of self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering, and really get familiar with what this three-brain being does in any given moment. With that practice, we're gifted with moments like that.
Could it have been sort of like the Louise Hay thing? Like, if I'm peaceful and calm inside before I leave my house, I'm not putting that out though. Like, that's what I kept thinking. Like, it was my inner peace that, it's usually not the person or the lack of turn signal. It's probably usually something going on inside my
head. It's always that.
Yeah.
It's always that. And yes, if there's an inner reservoir, because you have come under more authority in Lent, you're more faithful to the practices that feed you, then absolutely, your being draws your life. And in that moment, it was very clear that life was different than it normally was for you. Circumstances were the same, exact same, but not the inner experience. That's right. Thank you. When I was thinking about this aim, there are many tools in the work, but really what the work is about is exercising this triad. And in reality, it's not a triad, it's one thing. We break it into a triad because it's how we learn to dance. It's how we really get the feeling of the aspects of what really is self-remembering from beginning to end. And one of the things that has occurred to me is that without self-observation, without really developing self-observation, nothing else happens. So that muscle of developing the inner witness, because once that inner witness is permanent, you can feel the difference that makes. And I mean permanent, like relatively permanent. But once there is, once the orientation from our consciousness being turned towards the world and hypnotized by the world, once that orientation has shifted, everything changes. But it is the fundamental muscle to have. And it actually helps you see where your point in the work is. So if you can see that the observer is rarely present, that's where the work is. And 90% of the commentaries, 90% of the work tools, are all different aspects of self-remembering, of getting accustomed to seeing our psychology. We take pictures. We see our attitudes. We see our reactions in all three centers. We get used to even realizing we have three centers. And we spend so much time on that level for a reason. Because that muscle is the basis, that capacity to see and to listen is the basis of all else. It's the light of consciousness, and the light heals, not anything we do. It's the light that heals. And the more we can take the I out of making things better or getting better, the better. The light of consciousness is uncritical. And that's how we know when there's critical observation, that's not observing I. That's just another eye that's jumped into the game. The light just sees. There's no commentary the light makes. The commentary, again, is something else. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I can't believe I did that again. That's not the light. The light just sees. Centering prayer helps us make room for that light to be. It opens us to receive that light, or rather, to know the light is already there. One of the things Nickel says is we must not let the feeling of I creep into what we observe. We must not let the feeling of I creep into what we observe. So that's why the critic isn't the observer, and the commentary about what we're observing is not the observer. So there's ways to deepen the experience of observing I until it's just light. It's just light. In volume 5, Nichols says, remember that what you observe distinctly, you are not identified with. Do you see how that works? So if you're really seeing it, you cannot be identified. If the light is really shining, and in fact, if that's already happening, there's already non-identification. So there's a feeling there. Can you feel it in yourself right now? Observe something. Observe the sensation of sitting in your chair. Just the fact that you can see that, it's not I. What you observe distinctly, you are not identified with. To me, there's great hope in that statement. It's a lot easier than we think. I came across this from Father Thomas today. Nothing is more helpful to reduce pride than the actual experience of self-knowledge. So that's what self-observation is in service to. Self-knowledge, awakening. And he goes on to say, if we are discouraged by it, we have misunderstood its meaning. So discouragement would be the critic. It's judging what we see. Non-identification. That's a really hard one to describe. The reason is because it's already so embedded in the process, it's actually hard to pull out and make it something else. But we do that artificially just to learn. So we often use the tool, this is not I. Sometimes it helps to use the intellectual center to create that inner separation. But again, once it's seen, there's already a separation from it. Non-identification is removing the feeling of I. Can I really know that what is being seen or experienced is not I? Just by the nature of being seen and experienced. So we separate from all images, all stories, all imaginations of self. We can just see, here's the movie. There it goes. It's my favorite movie. I'm always talking about it. When we non-identify, we are actually literally removing our life force that we have invested through the feeling of I from the fragments. We're literally taking the energy of life force out of those fragments and re-recollecting ourselves. So just like non-identification is already inherent in self-observation, it's self-remembering is already inherent in non-identification. In fact, Nichol says you cannot non-identify without a certain degree of self-remembering. So again, we're dissecting the dance, but it's one thing. Are there any comments or questions about this part, Stuart? Wait a second.
Nichol also uses the triad of self-remembering first, mm-hmm. non-identification, and then non-considering or non-account making. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to what you're saying about how it's all one practice. And I can non-identify if I could stop for a second and just remember who my daddy is.
That's right.
And that can neutralize everything.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. In fact, that's how we move from knowing, kind of practicing the three steps of the dance, to actually just dancing, and it's very instantaneous. It just takes an instant. It takes a breath. We don't necessarily need time apart. We're householders. We wake up in life. Thank you. Tamara.
Weeks ago, I set a future memory to, in the presence of somebody close to me, particularly my kids, when they are upset, to be able to silently pray for them, because I keep seeing this I that wants to fix it and feels like it's got to say something. Mm-hmm. Well, like I shared in the second line, for those of you that are in there with me, I've gotten some glimpses of being able to, in the moment when they're raging and when they're really upset, being able to let this I go passive, because it doesn't want to at first, because it really thinks it needs to, and what it has to say is so important. But if I can get it to go passive, and if I can stay present with the person, because I also have eyes that will check out, but stay present, mm-hmm. listening, and start silently praying for the person in front of me, mainly infinite wisdom, divine love, help them
get in touch with what's highest inside of them, something shifts. Mm-hmm. And just let them keep going.
Right.
I don't think I would ever be able to experience that. And I've been able to a couple of times, and it really is. There's something wonderful about it because it dissolves.
Yes.
Inside of me and with them.
Absolutely.
In a very amazing, and it's not me.
Right.
I'm really grateful for that, and I want to set another, well, more and more future wishes to be able to do that in the moment, because for so long it would always be coming back, you know.
Coming back and
like afterward, thinking what I wish I would have been able to be quiet and to get some kind of silence in the moment with them. Mm-hmm. But just something about that moment, I don't know, I feel grateful, and I really wish to have more experiences like that.
For me, the foundation of self-remembering is knowing that God is always with me and everyone else. And the second thing, which is the hardest, but it's the thing that stops that kind of thing you're describing, is infinite trust in God, no matter what's happening. That's self-remembering for me. Infinite trust. Because I don't know. Not even on a good day. Not even on a good day. Thank you. Any other comments? Self-remembering, one of the things that Nichol says is the act of self-remembering normally precedes the state of self-remembering. The act of self-remembering normally precedes the state, which means that's why we practice. That's why we practice. That's why we come together and feel self-remembering collectively, which is sometimes easier when there's combined intention. And then we know it's possible. And then we affirm things like, God is always with me, before I really can know that God is always with me. But that affirmation, that ongoing practice, works. It creates a new groove. Go ahead, Anna.
This reminds me of a little trick that Tim had given to us in a work group one time. He said every time you find yourself in judgment, you got to bless it. You know, for instance, I'm driving and the person in front of me is slow. You know, dang it, that person is so slow. Oop. God bless this person who's driving slow because she or he is teaching me to slow down. And there's something about that. You know, you bless every time you find yourself in judgment, immediately you bless the person, right. And it becomes, you know, the act of self-remembering.
Yes.
And suddenly she transforms. I can see that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So a lot of our weekly and daily aims are practicing all of these things. So the practicing precedes the actual state of, and that's necessary. Yes, Tracy.
Which reminds of something you said a long time ago, and another friend of mine said a little bit before that, that a whole thing of it can take a great amount of effort to realize no effort's required at all.
Right. That's right. That's right. So we make all of these efforts to practice, and over time it becomes effortless. Absolutely. It becomes as quick as taking a breath. We come under more laws so that we come under fewer laws. That's right. It's another way of saying that. That's the other way of saying what you said, Jan, about discipline is freedom. The work idea is we come under more laws to come under fewer. Graces are given. The grace is always there. It's waking up to it. Self-remembering, Stuart talked about starting with self-remembering. Starting with self-remembering in the body is also very deep, quick, easy, and portable. Just to feel I am in the body right now. It's a completely different feeling, a completely different state. Rooting myself to the center of the earth, a different state. So this week we're going to continue this dance. It's really the only thing to do. It's really the only thing to do. And you might practice starting with self-remembering. You might practice with starting self-remembering in the body. You might actually feel physically life force being retracted from the fragments back to center. There's actually a feeling with that.
Would you say that again?
Which part?
Retracting.
Removing life force from the fragments. That's the non-identification part. Because every time there's a feeling of I in an attitude, in another person, in an event, thinking something should be different than it is, your feeling of I is in that, which means your life force is in it. I mean, you can actually visualize gathering the fragments into the wicker baskets. So really, the invitation this week is to learn to dance with this foundational practice. Turn the light on and keep it on, one way or another. The light is on. That's the truth. And there are special graces during Holy Week. So we'll be back here in 2 weeks. Any other comments or questions? Okay. This is a good time to put everything aside and recollect oneself in a deeper way. just let everything go. The dance can be practiced right now. And let us pray together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. Thank you. Awake now as I am. We bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love. In each of our lives and on this planet, over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. And may God grant us a quiet and restful night and a peaceful death. Amen.